Good evening and welcome to the Fred Bertelsen Old Time Radio Room. Today is Thursday, the 11th of January, 2024, and we've got a lot of fun going on this evening with a lot of chit-chat and, of course, John's playing at in about a half hour or so. Before we begin talking about anything radio-related, we'll start with the normal programming, things that are going on. And on Same Time, Same Station this week, we have Paul Whiteman, part three. Okay. And we will hear Paul Whiteman, Coast to Coast, from February 8th of 1939. Wasn't on very long, but it was he had been the king of radio pretty much in the 20s and early 30s, and then Bing Crosby more or less surpassed him. But he still had a show on for quite a while, and this was a pretty good example. Didn't last very long, but it was a nice show with a lot of guests. And in this case, I don't know if there was a guest on the first show featuring Paul Whiteman, but the second show is Paul Whiteman Presents, which was a summer replacement show in 1943, from June 6th to 43, and Eddie Cantor is the guest on that show. In the second hour, we will hear Yesterday USA with Perry Huntoon, and that was a look at Paul Whiteman Part 3 from October 16th of 2022. I don't remember how many parts we had with that, but several, because he did a lot of great music. And those are the things that are going on with Same Time, Same Station on Yesterday USA. Tonight, the normal Thursday with Walden and Patricia. Tomorrow, we have Bob Lyons on again, and we'll be talking about radio. But we have a guest also, along with Bob, and he is Roger Rittner. Roger is a longtime collector and producer, director of New Time Radio. If you were around in the mid-90s, I guess it was, or maybe it was 80s, he had a show called Midnight, which was new radio drama. He was connected for a long time with the Variety Arts Theater, and some of his live productions were aired on radio. And he still continues to this day doing radio, and we'll talk to him a lot about that and play various examples of his radio programs. So we hope you'll join us. He's very knowledgeable and a nice, nice guy, and really deserves a lot more than he's received in terms of credits. He's really good at what he does, and the productions have improved greatly. They're really good. So we'll play examples, and he's got a website full of them as well. So tune in tomorrow and listen as we talk to Roger Rittner. And Roger used to do a lot of work with the Magic Castle as well for years. So he knows everybody pretty much around the radio business. Saturday, we'll have Walden and Patricia again. On Sunday, Perry Huntoon will be back with us, and we will have Bing Crosby Part 4, I believe it is. And we'll do that for an hour, and then Michael Beale will be around to play old-time radio shows. If Walden gets in here relatively soon, he can pick up anything that I've forgotten that's Yesterday USA related. But, there's always something going on. So we're always on at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. And sometimes we start early, but don't know when that'll happen again. Right now, it's not scheduled for a while. And those are the major things that are going on in the way of radio. I don't know if anybody has anything in particular that they want to discuss tonight, but we have lots of time available in the event that you do. So are you
saying that USA Today goes off certain hours, or?
Well, no, we have an archive that plays when we're not doing live shows.
Oh, okay.
So the live shows are always on the red and blue between 7:30 in the evening and 10, about 7:30 till 1 West Coast time, which would make it about 10:30 until 4 on the East Coast. In case you're having trouble sleeping, tune in. And there's always something going on. And then sometimes we do start early.
Can I ask about the Orange?
The orange is in the midst of being prepared, and there will be an orange network, which will really be specifically old time radio, with no pro probably not live shows. It'll probably be all old time radio. I don't know if that'll be stuff we've prepared in the past, or whether we'll have new people joining it and doing work on it. Corey's helping us put that together, so it's in the midst of being together. So once we get it all together, we'll be able to talk more about what kind of things are going to be on there.
Because I thought Larry had something on it way back.
Yeah, most recently it's just been simulcast because we haven't had new productions ready to go yet. So, and that's pretty much the way it is right now. And then we changed servers, so I don't know whether I don't think it's up and running yet on the new server. So
So
Corey's been busy.
is the orange, is that the one that's gonna have, because I know you guys used to have before it crashed, and you guys, I don't know if you guys have that up and running where you guys are gonna have music from the 50s, 60s, and all that stuff.
I think that's up and running, but that's on Stay Tuned America, which is
Oh,
Corey's station,
but
and
so
that's a
that.
lot of stuff. That's where a lot of that is.
So that has nothing to do with you guys then.
Well, only that it's on the same server, so you can if you go to the. I'm not sure if you can choose that from the Yesterday USA website or not. You might be able to. I can't remember now. Haven't been up there in a while, so. But Corey, who helps us run Yesterday USA, also runs that station, so it might be a choice on Yesterday USA. And that does have a lot of really good music from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and so forth.
Okay. How old is Bob Lyons? Just out of curiosity.
Bob is 88. He's going to be 89 in August.
Yeah, I was a...
And still really doing well.
Oh, is that right? Because I remember I used to, I used to see all you guys at the Friends of Old Time Radio convention. And I used to trade shows with Barbara. And I always laugh. I used to tease her. I was 20 years old and she was 40. And I used to tease her about being old, and now I'm 60. So kind of funny. I'm as old as he and I put together at that time. So is he he's a lot older then, because she'd be 80 now.
Yeah, somewhere in that area. I'm not quite sure how old, but in that general age vicinity.
But you're saying he's going to be like
He's 88.
89,
Yeah, he's
88.
88
Yeah,
right now.
wowie.
Yeah.
Right on.
But he's
Keep
still,
on trucking.
still really got it going good. He's, he doesn't sound like like your stereotypical 88-year-old. So he's in good shape still. So.
I remember lines when he used to be on KCRW.
Yeah. And a lot of that is being played. Some of it has been played on the air. Most of what we're playing is the Don't Touch That Dial stuff on the Red Network.
And then when you guys used to be on KPTC.
Yeah, we were on opposite for several years. Yeah, I don't know why they did that, but they did. So,
Because there was just so much old time radio out there that you couldn't help but overlap.
Yeah, we got a lot. We did, and he did get a lot of complaints from people because they had to choose rather than just listening to both shows. So a lot of them would tape one and listen to the other, and vice versa.
But it's just the way that things go. It's the perpetual, feast or famine kind of thing. I mean, here I say it every day with, we're very lucky in New York to have a lot of activities that either are specifically for the visually impaired or at least include the visually impaired. And it's always, you could have nothing, for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then like everybody will do Thursday. It's like, which one are you going to go to? And I've had ones where it's where the activity will be 2 days a week, And it's the same as the next activities 2 days away. Thursday evenings and Saturday mornings, or Wednesday evenings and Sunday morning. I'm like, are you guys kidding? Come on.
Yeah. It tends to happen that way.
So I'm imagining, you know, old time radio being played, people, you know, so excited, like, how lucky are we? We've got two shows in our listening area, and they're on at the same time.
Right.
Okay.
And nowadays,
stuff.
Oh, tons of sports.
All the time. It's hard to decide what you want unless you're going just playing local.
I mean, well, yeah, we've got, I think, four stations, sports stations locally. Or maybe it's three now. No, it's four. So it's
Westwood One goes everywhere.
Yeah. And they tend to have the football games on the one station. So, and we've got a couple of two, one, two, three ESPN stations. So, you know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay. You're talking sports stations in your area. I thought you were talking, you had four OTR stations.
Oh, no, we don't have that. We have one OTR station on an FM station, which isn't very strong, but luckily they're on the internet, so you can still get them if you know where to go. But everything these
you
days
mean
is
there's
pretty
still
much on the
one
network.
Out there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but most of them are on network, so you can, internet, so you can go if you know where they are. You can listen to old time radio whenever you want to. Or
now,
you know.
Now is this a constant all day long station or?
No, it's like it's a show on Sundays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we
have them like those where they
Yeah.
There's
a lot of
I hear a noise.
Sorry, that's my phone.
Very noise.
Let me mute. That's my phone.
No, it wasn't.
No, we
many heard Joni.
I think I heard a funny voice. Speak to me.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, Joni.
See, I heard you.
Yes, you did. Yeah, WBAI from Eastern 8 to 10 Sunday night has Max Schmid in the Golden Age of Radio. And, of course, you're always, if you listen to BAI, you're always hearing how they don't have any money. They're running out of money. They can't pay the 8,000, I don't know, whatever it is.
I'm not even going to go there.
Because that's all they do in that station.
Well,
it's, and imagine, Joni, right? They've been going out of business since the 70s, and yet they're still there.
They've been going out of business since they came on the air in 1960.
There we go.
Because I heard them when they went non-commercial first night.
So they got money coming from somewhere.
You know, from viewers like you, like PBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore, they don't. I used to contribute, but since there were things going on that were not kosher with money problems, and some of the people were staying when they went out of town, they were, and even in New York, they were staying at very luxurious hotels. Using our money. Oh, no. Not mine anymore.
Hey, oh, Joe, out of curiosity, what's the weather like there? I heard something about Arizona getting some snow.
In northern Arizona.
Yeah, they get snow in northern Arizona. Yeah. Hi, guys.
In northern. I'm looking at this earlier today. It was like freezing cold in Tucson.
Tucson's southern Arizona, yeah.
Very southern.
Yeah, you know, Flagstaff is where you get snow, places like that. Big pine.
Yeah. I don't know, I just
but
saw
it's been thing very on cold here. Tonight.
Yeah,
it's cold, huh?
It's cold pretty much everywhere except Florida and Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, it is supposed to. Today we had a high in the low 70s. And by, we're supposed to get a front tonight, an even bigger one tomorrow night. And by Sunday and Monday, we are supposed to have highs. That's a high temperature in the mid to low 20s.
Well, that's something that's cold. For you. That's
Wow.
Real warm right now for us. And I heard that next week it's supposed to really get downright cold.
Tuesday.
Yeah, we're sending
it to
you.
But I did. You already set up.
Oh, thank you.
Tuesday, Kathy and I are going to Hawaii.
Ooh. Good for you.
Couple nights in Honolulu and then to Kauai, which we've never been to Kauai.
Oh, they've got great coffee up there.
Are you going there? That's what you just said?
Yes, we're going on Tuesday.
Wow, lucky dog.
We'll be going the 16th and we'll be back early in the morning on the 26th. You know, we leave on the 25th, but the flights leave in the evening, so it's overnight, you know.
Right, right.
Get into DFW at like 6:10 a.m.
Oh, you lucky dog. Oh, my God. Go for
it. Yeah, that'll warm
you up. That's fabulous.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Should be nice.
Tomorrow night here in Rumsey, minus 47 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
That hurts.
I'm bruising my bed.
So you step outside, you'll freeze something off. So
Yeah,
I'd be under my covers in my bed at that.
I guess what you do, if you got to go outside, you go out early when it's a bit warmer than it would be in the evening, or does it matter with those temperatures?
If that cold,
the sun comes out, it's hopefully it won't be windy.
Oh, yeah.
At all, because that's freezes
that's
everything.
That's killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dog goes out right now. It's minus 27 Celsius, so it's probably like minus 22, minus 23 Fahrenheit. And she goes out, takes a pee, and she's right back in her.
I can imagine so.
Absolutely.
Not a dog up there.
I'm not looking forward to the next two nights. It's supposed to be minus 44 Celsius, which is minus 47 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, minus 40 is the same in both of them.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's where they meet. Minus 40.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Celsius is minus 40 Fahrenheit. Same. That's the one where they meet.
This is below that, so.
Yeah, they'll be below that, so.
Yeah, so it works out to minus 47 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think anybody who lives anywhere else other than here can imagine. Like, heat makes you uncomfortable and sweaty and tires you, but cold is actually like things biting you. Like, it feels like you're being bitten.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the colder it is, the stronger the bite, like the sharper the teeth. And that's painful. It's downright painful.
How is it when you're inside the house?
The house is okay. It's an old house, so it's cold around the windows and.
Yeah.
I mean, I can crank the heat up, but I don't want to stress the furnace out.
Right.
Like, I don't want it running 24/7. Like, it might have to tomorrow night and the next night. But
it just runs and never shuts off.
Well, yeah, you don't want that happening because things can get overheated, right? So
right. Yeah,
it still
kicks
in and it kicks out. Once the house is warm, like once you get it to...
Yeah, it's just like maintaining it.
Eight to 7 degrees in here, like the insulation of the house holds on to that. But it's an old house, so it's a little drafty. You know, windows aren't like glass, even though they're double paned and everything. They're not... like glass doesn't provide a lot of insulation. So when you
yeah,
the windows, it's you feel it. And yeah, I did a round of exercise this morning just to make sure I got lots of blood flow.
Hmm. Now, how about outside? If you're gonna say, if you're gonna drive your car, does it weld the door shut? The cold temperatures like that, so that they're tough to open.
Things break.
Ah,
like belts break. You know, a metal part break off. Plastic breaks and nothing. It's like crumbles.
And you try to open the car door, and your hand will come off in your hand.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be mindful. I'm not going anywhere, but I probably
wouldn't go anywhere.
I'll probably put a battery charger on the van's battery just so it doesn't, because the battery loses a ton of its electrical power.
Yes.
So this is why we all want electric cars, of course. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Times like these.
Do you have, I can't remember what you call it, where you plug the car in and a block heater?
Yeah, it's a block heater. It's similar to what you find in an electric kettle.
Uh-huh.
And it fits into the block of the engine.
It goes into one of the freeze plugs, right?
Yeah, it uses one of the freeze plugs. And
then it just keeps the water and the oil. And
well, it keeps, not the oil, it keeps, you know, the block warm enough to start.
Right.
I remember hearing about
that. Minus 42, it keeps the block warm enough to start. Hopefully.
Bob, they don't know about electric kettles in the U.S.
Well, you don't have electric.
I've got an electric kettle.
No. Mostly they're on top of the range kettles.
Hmm.
Well, to be fair, Joni, I did learn about it in the Philippines, but then I went on Amazon and got one. You know, it's small. It doesn't take up a lot of space. It works quickly. It's better than, you know, if you want to make cup noodles, you know, it even says on the package these days, don't put it in the microwave. So having an electric kettle, just, you know, boiling up some water in a couple of minutes, for stuff like that is really good. I mean, it's only like, you know, $22 or so. It's not expensive, doesn't take up a lot of room. It's pretty nifty.
Hmm.
What they don't have, I don't understand how you don't have electric kettles in the U.S.
Well, we do, Bob. I mean, I'm saying I ordered it from Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Saying that it's not real popular. Like, you don't like see them, you know, all over. Like, you go to a friend's house and, you know, they're either putting a pot on the stove or they're heating up in the microwave. But I'm saying I became familiar with it, you know, in Asia, but then I looked for it here and, you know, Amazon has pretty much everything.
I had a little plug thing that you used to put, it was like a real round circle in the cup. They put it in the cold water, put that and plug it in. And just hold it down in the water, and the water will come back boiling, you know, boiled water.
Oh, you mean the heating coils?
Yeah.
What were they? Yeah. Oh, I love them.
I loved it.
A couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could just boil your water.
Right, just like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah. Now, I've seen the pots too, but the coil I haven't seen for a while. I lost mine, but if I can find it again, I'd be happy.
Yeah, it sounds like something too dangerous for today's generation.
I don't know what that. Okay.
Well, a coil. I don't know. Just something that they might hurt themselves with. I mean, face it. The owner's manual in a 1940s car told you how to set the valve timing and change the spark plugs. And the owner's manual in a modern car says, do not drink the liquid in the battery.
You're kidding.
No, I kid you not.
You know, Bob, in 2023, we have instructions on shampoo bottles. So
yeah, I heard about that.
It's true.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about that too.
That's insane. Because
the lawyer said we better put these on there so we don't get sued. Mm-hmm. Don't drink it, it says. External use only.
You know.
There's a guy with a YouTube channel, and he's got all kinds of, like, he collects all these clips from all these mechanics of what people brought in. There was one guy, his brakes were squeaky, and he's been greasing them.
Nice.
He's been greasing them, but it's not helping.
You know.
Funny thing.
Well, when he plows into a bridge abutment because he's got no brakes, he won't be concerned about the squeak anymore. So in that sense, that's maybe it solved the problem.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it fixed his problem.
Well, you probably saw a YouTube video on it, you know.
You know.
How to.
Yeah, when I heard about the shampoo, that freaked me out. Squirt here.
Well, I always like the labels on the things that say do not eat. Obvious things that says do not eat.
Well, but then you get the Tide Pod Challenge, you know, and
yeah,
they've got to make better packaging for that.
Tide Pod Challenge on okay, what can I say what it's called?
Tiki Talk?
Yes, thank you. To eat a Tide Pod? Great.
You know, so now I see commercials for Tide Pods, you know, with the, new improved child-proof packaging.
It's amazing that you have to tell people not to eat a Tide Pod.
There goes my dinner. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I was going to.
That's what I was going to have for dinner tonight. Jeez.
With Hershey syrup on top. See what that's like.
Yeah, and maybe, and a salad to go with it, you know.
Yeah, so I saw, I saw a good meme on Facebook one time. It had a picture of a box of Tide. Said, you know, something like, you know, when I was a kid, we were so poor, we had to eat Tide just straight out of the box.
Oh, sick.
John, we are about 2 minutes away, so.
They didn't have pods back then.
I'm trying to get ready, John, but I don't know.
The one I liked was the one where this guy was like, I can put down this spoon anytime I want. He's like, got like a bowl of Frosted Flakes. He's like, I can put down this spoon anytime I want. I just couldn't get as much with a fork.
Oh, God.
Alert, participants can now see your screen.
And hear it.
Assuming we can see.
True.
See user documents, my conference recordings.
It's quite the
user documents, my conference recordings. I'm in multi-select list box.
I am ready when you are.
Okay, well, it is, it's about 30 seconds before, and that's perfectly okay. So why don't we all mute ourselves and we'll listen to John's programs.
Everyone, here we go.
Oh, we're muting ourselves?
No, I'm taking
grabs.
You're muted.
Alert, audio now muted. Alert, host muted everyone.
Hello, welcome in to What Once Was Radio. I'm your host, John Bollier. All you have to do is sit back, relax, and listen as we venture into What Once Was Radio. Hello, Happy New Year. This is John Bollier, and this is another What Once Was Radio. How about that? Well, we've gotten through the holiday season, all the hustle and bustle. So I thought that tonight we would just sit back, relax, and enjoy some comedy chuckles to ourselves. So, as this is January, the first month of the year, and A is the first letter of our alphabet, I thought I would have two programs dealing with A. So, we'll start it off with the Aldrich family and Henry's secret admirer.
Folsom presents
Henry! Henry Aldrich! Coming, Mother!
The Aldrich Family, written by Clifford Goldsmith. Entertainment for all the family, brought to you by Postum, a tempting, wholesome drink for all the family. Postum. Good evening. This is Dan Seymour extending a hearty welcome on behalf of Postum. As you drew up your chairs to listen to the Aldrich family tonight, you probably never gave a thought to the many other people doing the same thing. But there are millions of them, and they fall into all classes, rich and poor, old and young, men and women. Because it doesn't take any specialized group to appreciate the Aldrich family any more than it takes a specialized group to appreciate Postum. Anybody who likes a good, lusty drink, a mealtime drink with real authority in it, can't help but enjoy Postum. Anybody who likes a distinctive drink will enjoy Postum, because Postum has a very special goodness, a delicious flavor that stands right out because it's all Postums and only Postums. So when you want a mealtime drink that's sure pleasure, be sure to choose Postum. To actually being young again, there's no better way to recapture that feeling than to know a teenage boy like Henry Aldrich. For he acts just like you used to when you were that age. And so his troubles become your fun. The scene opens at the Aldrich breakfast table.
And here's a letter for you, Sam, and another for you.
Thank you, Alice.
Henry, here's one for you.
For me, Mother, for me.
Alice has an advertisement from some summer resort, Glimmer Lake.
Really?
Father, I certainly hope we aren't going away any place this summer.
We certainly are not.
And I agree with both of you.
Boy, do you know what I'm going to do? Well, she was imagining.
Henry, what's the matter?
Nothing, Mother. I was just reading this letter.
Well, please eat your cereal.
Yes, yeah, sure, only... Father, without looking at any of the rest of the sweater, can you make out this word right here?
Why, that's fiendish.
Oh, yes, of course. I thought it was friendly.
Mother?
Yes, Mary?
Was there any mail for me this morning?
No, dear.
Oh. Henry, who's that letter from?
Why, it's just hardly anything. Mary, will you please stop trying to read over my shoulder?
Henry, all I was doing was innocently looking to see whether you'd opened one of my letters by mistake.
Well, I haven't. You don't even know who this is from.
Hi, Henry. Are you through with breakfast?
Homer, where did you come from?
Johnson's Candy Kitchen. Hi, Mr. Aldrich. Want a piece of fudge?
What's that?
Go ahead. It has walnuts in it.
Homer, will you please take that bag from under my nose?
Oh, excuse me.
Homer, I could eat a little.
Henry, you will please eat your egg.
Can he have a little piece of fudge on the side, Mrs. Aldrich?
He may not.
Oh.
Mother, could I speak with Homer confidentially out in the hall a second?
Dear, you haven't even started your breakfast.
Mother, my egg is hot. See, I mean, it's not cold enough for me to eat, and I'd like to talk to Homer about this, well, about a certain matter, and...
Will you be right back?
Yes, Mother, I'll be out here in the hall for exactly 2 minutes and not 1 second longer.
What is it, Henry? Did your report card come?
Homer, look, it's a letter from a girl.
Well, who is she?
That's the beautiful part of it. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Oh, I know. She lives over in Abbott City. Look at what she says. Dear Henry Aldrich, I suppose you will think I am very bold writing you a boring letter like this, but I'm simply so bored I can't help it.
Why? What's the matter with her?
I guess you know your friend Nancy Adams, who was visiting here, and yesterday she happened to show me her school yearbook, and I said, who's that picture? And she said, why, that's Henry Aldrich. And I said, it's such a boring day, I'm going to write to him. And she said, all right, I dare you. And I said, all right. And here I am.
What's that?
Although I'm probably no lady for doing it.
Henry, let's see that.
Homer, will you please take your hands off it?
All I want to do is read it.
In the first place, Homer, some of it is confidential.
Read me some more. Read me some more.
She says, you should certainly be glad, Henry, you don't live in this boring place. It's friendly. I mean, fiendish. I can hardly wait until summer comes, and we go to beautiful Lake Passepartout, where there is something doing every minute. Where are you going to be this summer?
Henry?
Yes, Mother?
Will you come back and eat your egg, please?
Yes, Mother.
And tell Homer to wait out there.
Hey, Henry, could I be reading the rest of this?
Gee whiz, Homer, what do you think this is? Just public property?
Henry!
I'm coming right now, Mother. And boy, Mother, don't you think what Father said a little while ago was a good idea?
What he said about what, Henry?
About our going away this summer.
When did I say we were going away?
I thought you said... Well, gee, Father, don't you think this place is darn boring in the summer?
Boring? I thought you liked it here.
Mother, it's fiendish.
It's what?
Fiendish. In the summer. I think we ought to go to Lake Passepartout.
Lake Passepartout? I never heard of it.
Henry.
What, Homer?
Are you sure you don't have anything I could be looking at?
No.
Now, Henry Homer is your guest. You go find him a magazine.
Yes, Mother. I'll get it for him right away. And, Mother, at Lake Passepartout, there's something doing practically every minute.
Well, there's nothing wrong with our home right here.
Hey, Henry, let me see just one more page of it.
Okay, Homer, if you'll promise not to handle it. Where were we?
At Lake Passepartout.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here's a good part. Boy, this is good. It is raining out. It has been all day. In fact, it's been raining most of this week. Is it raining in Centerville? Isn't it fiendish? If there's one thing I find boring, it's to sit indoors all day with nothing to do when it's raining.
That's very interesting.
Henry, Kathleen Anderson wants you on the telephone.
Who, me, Mary? Oh, well, tell her I can't talk with her. I'm very busy right now.
Go on, Henry. Why do you keep stopping?
Why, she goes on and says, naturally, I am anxious to hear all about yourself. As Nancy tells me, you are very interesting. Will you please promise to write? Please, oh, please, oh, please.
Oh, boy.
I hope I have not bored you. As ever...
Didn't she sign it?
Yes, but... Homer, can you make that first name out?
Let's see. I can figure out the last name, okay?
You can?
Yeah. Droopwater.
Droopwater?
That's what it looks like to me.
Homer, there aren't two O's in there.
Could it be Dropwater?
Well, I see what that middle letter is in the first name. It's T.
T? Could it be Walter?
Walter?
Walter Dropwater.
Why would a girl have that name? Oh, can't you see what it is? It's just as clear as day. It's Myrtle.
Oh. Oh. Myrtle Dropwater. Henry, tell me frankly, do you think you ought to write to her?
Why not? Just because... And besides, Homer, that isn't an O in the last name. It's an I.
A what?
It's Dripwater.
Drip?
Sure, not Drop. No wonder you had the wrong impression of her.
Drip? Drip.
Henry?
Yes, Mother?
Will you please go out to the kitchen and get your father a drink of water?
A drink of... Homer, that's it.
Why?
It's Myrtle Drinkwater. Isn't that a beautiful name?
Sam, I don't like to bother you, but I do have something I'd like to talk over with you.
Yes, what's the trouble?
Well, it's about Henry. He's been so upset ever since he got another letter this morning. And about a half an hour ago, he asked whether I didn't think he should have his allowance increased.
Mother!
Yes, Mary?
Mother, did you know Henry got another letter this morning?
Yes, dear, we know all about it. Mary, turn around.
What for?
Dear, I think you ought to go down to the hairdresser.
Mother, aren't you interested? That letter was from some loan company.
Mary, what's that?
Where did you say it was from, Mary?
A loan company in Abbott City. I saw it right up on top of the page. And then he came to me and asked if he could borrow some money, and he was all excited.
Yes?
Father!
Sam, what do you suppose is the matter?
Could I see a loan for a...
Oh. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Mother.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, this is nice that we can be together. We very seldom get together.
Henry.
Yes, Father?
What was it you came in here to say?
Why... Well, I'll tell you, Father. Oh, boy, I'll answer the door.
Henry, that's probably for me.
No, it isn't, Mother. I think it's someone to see me on sort of a business arrangement. Hello, Homer.
Hello, I tried to come in. What's the idea?
What's what idea?
Of keeping your door locked. How do you expect your friends to come in?
My father asked us to keep it locked every morning until he goes to the office. Listen, Homer, have you got the 35 cents?
Yes, here. Now, where's the letter?
Right here.
Hand it to me.
Oh, no, I didn't say I'd let you read it. I said I'd read it to you.
What does she say?
Now, don't push me, Homer. She says,
My dear Hen.
Oh, boy.
I received your 14-page letter, and it was a whiz.
A what?
Never mind, Homer. I hope you will excuse my using my father's business stationery, but my new paper, which incidentally is a whiz, hasn't come yet. You have asked me to describe myself, and I'll do the best I can. Although there are some things I can't say because you would think I was terribly conceited. First of all, I am 5'9". Homer, could that be 9?
Gee whiz, Henry, you're only 5'8".
8 1/4, Homer. Besides, that isn't a 9, it's a 2. It's as clear as day.
Looks like a 9 to me. Go on.
I am 5'2", and have rather pleasing eyes, they say. Although I do wish at times my eyelashes weren't quite so long, because they are always somehow getting in my way.
What does she have to do, comb them?
Homer, stop interrupting me. As to the color of my eyes, I wish you were here to judge for yourself. Some boys say they are gray. Some boys say they are green. Which do you like?
You mean you can have your choice?
Oh, Homer, lots of things change color in different lights. Where was I?
Right here. What color will you have?
Oh, yes. As to my hair, which is black, I have recently had done into a feather cut, which is a whiz, even if I do say so.
Henry?
Yes, Mother?
Are you busy?
Why, I'm carrying out a little transaction, you might say, with Homer.
Well, may I speak with you?
Right now, Mother?
Listen, Henry, you haven't finished reading
yet. I'll be back. Gee whiz, what do you want for 35 cents?
Henry?
Yes, Mother?
Dear, I just want you to know that if you really need money and would be willing to tell your father what you need it for, he might see his way clear to helping you out.
Well, Mother, I appreciate your bringing it up, but you've got so many things on your mind. I think it would be best if I just didn't bother
you. Mother, do you mind if I make an appointment with the hairdresser someday this week?
No, not at all.
Well, Henry, Kathleen Anderson phoned you again.
She did?
She was. I think Centerville girls are just boring.
Henry?
Yes, Homer, I'm coming. Mary, are you going to the hairdresser?
Yes.
Well, why don't you get a feather cut? Boy, that kind is a whiz.
A feather cut, Henry, after I let my hair grow this long?
Henry.
I'm coming, Homer. Where was I?
She just got in a shampoo or something.
You're crazy. Here's where I stopped. I think your idea of phoning me is a whiz. And I'll certainly be thrilled when I hear that old telephone ring. Yours hastily, Myrtle Drinkwater.
Henry, is her name really Drinkwater?
Why not?
Boy. Do you think she could be part Indian?
Now listen, Homer.
What's that at the bottom of the page?
Oh, gee whiz, I hadn't seen that.
Huh.
Instead of your phoning me, why don't I phone you, as I never know where I'm going to be next. So I'll call you on Friday between 5 and 6.
You mean you don't need my money? Well, give it back to me.
No, Homer, I will not. Suppose she calls me collect. Don't you think she expects me to be a gentleman?
Well, if I'll let you keep it, can I be here when she calls?
No, Homer. Boy, just think. Tomorrow I hear Myrtle's voice for the first time.
Sam, have you thought anything more about our going away this summer?
Alice, I thought we decided not to go.
Mother!
Yes, Henry?
What time is it now?
It's exactly 20 minutes to 5.
Thank you, Father.
Alice, if you'd like to take a cottage someplace for a couple of weeks, I'm sure I have no objections.
Well, dear, somebody, I can't remember who it was, said something about Lake Passepartout being a nice place to go.
Lake Passepartout?
Well, somebody's mentioned it in the last couple of days and said it was wonderful.
Father!
Yes?
Are you sure your watch is right?
I'm positive. Will you please tell me why you ask what time it is every 60 seconds?
No reason, Father. I was just waiting for it to be 5 o'clock.
Henry, why do you have your new blue suit on?
Oh, she was... I got that on. Is that the telephone, old boy?
Henry, don't run.
Gee whiz, who put that chair there?
Henry!
I'm sorry, Father. I'll pick it up when I come back. Mother, just stay where you are, please. I beg of you.
Henry, what's the matter with you?
Nothing, Mother. It's just that... Hello, long distance?
What's that?
Homer, is that you? Get off the line. The phone just rang.
Sure, I'm calling you. Has she phoned yet?
No, Homer. Will you please hang up?
Okay, and I'll be right over.
No, Homer, you're not to come over. I don't want you even around here.
Aren't you going to be talking to her on my 35 cents?
Homer, please, listen to reason. Look, if I'll tell you something she said in a letter this morning, will you stay where you are?
Is it any good?
Sure it is. It's a lot better than any telephone conversation would be.
Well, all right.
She says she wants me to come to a bal mask tomorrow night.
To a what?
To a bal mask. That's a masquerade party over in Abbott City.
Henry, do you think it's safe?
What do you mean safe?
Are you going, Henry?
Sure, I'm going.
Henry?
Yes, Mother?
Dear, you'll have to hang up right this minute.
I will. Homer, my mother says I have to hang up, and I guess she's right. Goodbye.
Henry.
Gee, Mother, did you save my life?
Dear, I want you to jump on your bicycle and go right down to the meat market.
Now?
Right this minute.
But Mother, I'm expecting a very important... Wouldn't the government appreciate it if we didn't have meat tonight?
We didn't have any last night or the night before. Now, please start.
Well, couldn't Mary go?
Mary's down at the hairdresser's. And, Henry, if you can't help me out, I'll have to go and tell your father.
Well, yes, Mother, I'll go, won't you?
Then please get started. The meat will be all ready for you.
Well, just as soon as I've... Hello?
Number, please.
Operator, this is Henry Aldridge. I'm expecting a very important call from Abbott City, see? And when it comes, could you switch her on to the butcher shop?
Now getting back to the troubles of Henry Aldridge. Just as Henry was expecting a long-distance call from a girl he has never met, he was suddenly and firmly sent to the meat market, where the scene now opens.
Hey, Mr. Wilson! Mr. Wilson!
Oh, hi there, Henry.
You have my mother's meat ready.
Here it is, right here.
Oh, boy, thanks. Has a telephone call come for me?
No, not since I've been on duty.
Oh, gee, I'm expecting an important call. Oh, boy, there she is right now.
You better let me answer it first.
Okay, but tell her I'm right here, won't you?
Hello? Henry?
Here I am. Oh, boy, I guess I got here just at the right time, didn't I? Hello? Oh, is this long distance?
It is not. Henry?
Father, is that you? Something happened to her?
And something happened to whom?
Who's calling me?
I am. As long as you're downtown, I want you to run over to the Havens drugstore and get some cigars for me.
Now?
And hurry home. Goodbye.
But, Father, I... Oh, boy. Look, Mr. Wilson, when a long-distance call comes for me, could you tell them they can catch me over at the Havens drugstore?
I don't know why I couldn't. What's the name of the party that's calling?
Her name is Myrtle Drink... Why, she'll just ask for me.
Alert, contact number is left to meet.
Yes, Sam.
Did you call to Havens and leave that message?
Yes, I did. What was it you started to say about Lake Passepartout?
Only that I'd heard of someone downtown who owns a couple of cottages up there.
Well, that's fine, Sam, because I don't know whether it's just one of my premonitions or not, but it seems to me if we could get Henry away from this town this summer, he might not have quite so many problems.
Yeah? There goes the telephone again. I'll see who it is.
If it's Henry, tell him to please hurry.
Hello?
Is this Elm, 303?
It is.
This is long distance. I have a call from Abbott City to Mr. Henry Aldridge.
Well, Henry Aldridge isn't here right now. May I ask who the call is from?
Why, it's a party by the name of Drinkwater.
Drinkwater? Oh, thank you.
Sam, who was it?
Someone from Abbott City by the name of... Alice, I know who that was calling him. I know exactly who that was.
Who?
A fellow by the name of Drinkwater. And he's connected with that loan company over in Abbott City that Henry's been getting letters from.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you too busy to wait on me?
I guess not, Henry.
Well, first there's a phone call come for me.
Yes, two of them.
Two? Long distance?
No, they were both from your mother. She wants you to get a quart of milk at the grocer's and then stop at the cleaner's and pick up your father's suit.
Oh, gee whiz, oh boy.
Just a minute and I'll wrap your father's cigars for you.
Well, the only trouble is I'm expecting a call from a girl and it's coming here to your drugstore.
That right?
There's a big masquerade over in Abbott City tomorrow night. And you know what I'm going to wear?
No.
A Confederate soldier.
What's that?
Oh, boy, Mr. DeHaven, could I answer your phone? It's probably... Well, it must be... Hello, is this long distance?
Hello?
Call Myrtle?
Hello, could you rush up a bottle of paregoric right away?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Abbott City Mortgage and Loan Company.
May I speak with Mr. Drinkwater, please?
I'm sorry, but Mr. Drinkwater isn't in right now.
Well... Could you tell me whether my son has been trying to borrow money or owes you any?
What is the name?
Henry Aldridge.
Oh, well, we aren't allowed to give out confidential information, sir.
I know, but he's my son, and he's...
I'm sorry, you'll have to speak to Mr. Drinkwater personally, and he isn't in.
I see. Well, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sam, how much does Henry owe them?
She wouldn't tell me. She said, as a matter of fact, I know what I'll do.
What, Sam?
Now, when Henry comes in, don't say one word about any of this.
You don't think we should?
I've got to drive over to Abbott City on some other business in the next few days anyhow, and I'll drop in and have a talk with Drinkwater.
Really?
Mother, did I hear Father say Abbott City? Is there a call for me?
Henry, when did you get back?
Just now. Where's the telephone?
Henry, I was simply talking about going over to Abbott City sometime.
Oh.
That's all.
Isn't that strange? Father, do you have any ideas as to when you might be driving over?
Oh, any time in the next few days.
Well, they have awfully good movies over there sometimes. Wouldn't you like to take Mother and go over tomorrow night and have a good time?
Saturday night?
Yeah, sure. And I might go along with you.
Well, we'll see. We'll think it over.
Oh, boy, there it is.
Henry, will you please walk?
Well, I don't want to miss it.
Oh, gee whiz.
Henry, what's the matter?
Nothing, Mother. I just slid into the telephone table.
Well, get up off that floor.
I don't need to. I can talk right down here. Hello? Long distance? Long distance?
Hello, Henry. What did she say?
Hi, Mr. Johnson. I came in to see if you found that costume for me.
Yes, Henry, here it is. This lieutenant's uniform is the last Confederate outfit I have in the place.
Well, gee, that's exactly what I wanted.
That'll be $2.
$2? Just for 24 hours?
That's right.
Well, couldn't you let me have it for, say, $1 or $1.50 if I bring it back late tonight?
Well, how would you like to go as an 1890 policeman for $1.75?
Well, the only thing is my girl tried to get me by phone yesterday, and we couldn't get together, and I sent her a telegram that I'd be there tonight as a Confederate soldier.
She'd like you just as well as a policeman, wouldn't she?
The only thing is we've never met, and I don't want to confuse her. Can I use your phone a second?
Yeah, help yourself. It's right there.
Hello? Mr. Johnson, do I get a sword with that for $2?
The sword's 50 cents extra.
Oh.
Number, please.
I want Elm 787.
Elm 787?
Yes, please. Mr. Johnson, do I understand correctly it's 50 cents less without the sword?
Hello, Sam Aldridge speaking.
Father, don't you think a hat, a sash, a coat, pants, and sword are dirt cheap for $2.50?
What's that?
Just for one night.
Who is this?
It's your son, Henry. I have a chance to go to a costume ball tonight as General Lee for $2.50.
$2.50?
With the sword. $2 without.
Good. Take it. Only don't try to get the money from a stranger.
Where will I get it?
From me. Goodbye.
Well, gee whiz, thank you very... Goodbye. Mr. Johnson, I can take it. Mr. Johnson, where are you?
Hi, Henry. How do I look?
Listen, Ed Carney, what are you doing with that uniform on?
I'm going to rent it.
Eddie, I've already taken it.
You have not.
Eddie, give me that.
Now, listen, Henry, you take your hands off that.
Now, Eddie, stop pushing me.
Here, now, wait, boys. What's the idea?
Mr. Johnson, I want this uniform.
Mr. Johnson, I said I'd take it.
Henry's right, Ed.
Now, give it to me, Ed.
Henry, for the last time, take your hands off me.
You make me darn you.
There.
Oh, take that.
Now, listen, Henry.
Now, wait, boys. Let's not have another war over this.
How do you feel, Henry?
All right.
Here, put this cloth on your other eye. Boy, did you take a beating.
But I got the costume, didn't I? And Ed Carney doesn't look so hot either.
Where's the costume? Let me put it on.
It's still down at Mr. Johnson's. After we got through, he said he thought it would look a little better if he gave it a brushing and pressing.
Henry?
Yes, Mother?
Here's a letter for you.
A letter for me?
Yes. Are you quite sure you feel well enough to go to that dance tonight, dear?
Mother, I never felt better in my life.
Well, you know best, I suppose.
Homer.
Why?
Which is the front of this envelope?
You're looking right at it.
I am.
Henry, don't you think I ought to read the letter to you with your eyes feeling the way they do?
Now, Homer, I can read it perfectly all right. Dear Henry, as long as I know exactly what you're going to look like, I think it is only fair that you know what I'm going to wear. And so I'm enclosing a photograph of me in my costume. Gee whiz, where is it? Where is it?
There it is, right there. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Homer, will you let me see it?
Oh, boy, Henry. Wait until you see it.
Homer, am I going to knock you down, too?
Here, take a look at her. Boy, is that a sight for sore eyes.
Gee whiz, Homer, is that?
Yep, Henry. Myrtle Drinkwater.
Why, no, but...
She looks like an icicle.
I know, Homer, but... Look at that face.
Henry, do you think that might be a mask that goes with the costume?
No, Homer, it's real.
Henry!
Yes, Father?
You going to be ready to go over with me? I'm leaving in a few minutes.
To Abbott City?
Yes.
Well, the only thing is, Father, frankly, I don't think I'll be going to that dance.
You're not going. Why not?
He's just had some bad news, Mr. Aldrich.
Henry, did I hear you say you aren't going?
Mother, my eyes are sort of tired, and I don't think I'd want to go over there and strain them.
Well, Alice, you better get your things on.
Sam, I don't think I want to take that trip either.
I know, but Alice, I've got to go over there and keep that appointment with...
Well, you go right on over and keep it.
Mother, if anybody phones for me this evening, tell them I've gone to bed.
Mary, aren't you going out tonight?
No, Mother, of course I'm not. I met Joe Graham on the street today with his feather cut. I haven't... He just laughed at me.
Well, frankly, Mary,
I...
Now, Sam, let's not say anything more about it.
But, Mother, I don't blame Mary for feeling the way she does about it. I don't see why anyone wants to wear their hair cut that way.
Well, what I'd like to know is where I ever got the idea of doing it.
Alice, are you coming?
No, Sam, you go ahead.
All right. Oh, incidentally, I've got a cottage at Lake Passepartout this summer.
What's that?
Yes, it's a whiz. That is...
Sam, you didn't go and sign the lease, did you?
Alice, I thought you wanted to go there.
Dear, someone told me this afternoon we wouldn't like it there one bit.
Lake Passepartout, Mother? Why in the world do we want to go to that place?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. They say it's simply fiendish. I mean...
Well, what I'd like to know is what I'm driving all the way over to Abbott City alone for.
Henry Aldrich will be back in just a moment. Remind you, friends, there's a best way to do everything. A best way to build a bridge or make a suit of clothes, to bake a cake, or even to make a cup of postum. And the best way to make postum is to follow the directions on the package. Because they're tested directions designed to make the most of that hearty, robust postum flavor. They give you a cup of postum at its delicious best. So always follow the directions to a swell cup of postum.
I wanted to tell you my father went down and had a talk with Mr. Johnson, and I'm going to wear that Confederate uniform after all.
You are? To the masquerade in Abbott City?
Sure.
And you're going sad?
Of course I am. And if you show up, I'll knock your block off.
Well, as a matter of fact, let me give you a tip. If you get bored, look around for a girl named Myrtle Drinkwater. She's got a feather bob, and boy, she's a whiz.
Again next week, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with your favorite youngster, his family, and his pals. The Aldrich Family is written by Clifford Goldsmith. The original musical score is played by Jack Miller's orchestra, Ben Ludlow conducting. Your host tonight is Postum, and Postum is one of America's great mealtime drinks. It's good drinking. Good night.
Well, there you have it. By golly, the Aldrich family. Henry never does get to meet his secret admirer. But, as usual, the Aldrich family and their friend Homer always have exciting things happening. Okay, we have one more football story. As you know, the other day we claimed our new champion for the year. However, I do want to finish the year off with Abbott and Costello and the football game.
C-A-M-E-L-S. The Abbott and Costello program, brought to you by Camel, the cigarette that's first in the service. Camels stay fresh because they're packed to go around the world. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes. Tonight's guest, Harold Perry, the great Gildersleeve, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott!
Now what's wrong?
Oh!
What's wrong now?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, Abbott, a terrible thing just happened.
What happened?
I was invited down to the shipyards where they're building a brand new ship, and I got caught between two guys that was throwing hot rivets.
Hey, what happened?
What happened? One of those red hot rivets landed in my back pocket.
Yes?
Before I knew it, I was 4 miles out to sea. Under my own steam, too.
How do they save you, Lou? Did they throw you a breeches, boy?
No, I came back without any breeches, kid.
No. Well... You made a fool of yourself again.
Yeah, but I burned my bridges behind me.
Oh, Doc Sense. What were you doing down at the shipyards in the first place?
I forgot to tell you. See, Abbott, my cousin Hugo was a sailor down there. He's in the signal corps.
The signal corps?
Yeah, he keeps signal his mother to get him out.
Oh.
I'm so ashamed of my cousin Hugo.
You are?
I mean, after all, the Costellos have always been very brave people. My great-grandfather was a colonel in the army.
A colonel?
Yeah.
Colonel? You dummy, that
a colonel,
word...
that's a pretty high rank.
No, not colonel.
It is.
No, you see, that word is pronounced colonel.
Colonel?
Yes, colonel. Where did he fight?
Oh, my uncle. He fought with the original 13 colonelies.
No, Costello, that's colony.
Oh, colony. You said it was colonelies.
No.
Colonelies. Now, make up your mind.
Look, it's very simple. In military parlance, C-O-L is pronounced cur, as
cur.
In colonel.
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
Oh, no, I never went to college.
Oh.
Not me.
Yes, I know.
I quit school at the age of first.
All right, that's enough.
Well, it ain't all right. After I quit school, I got a job in Vertival. I was a juggler.
A juggler? Look, are you finished?
No, one more.
What?
Abbott, what? Oh, that's your line.
Yeah.
Costello.
Well, what is it? Now, what's next?
Never mind. That joke sunk. Skip.
Look, will you cut it out? I have something important to tell you. Mrs. Niles called up a few minutes ago, and she wants you to take care of her nephew, little Hector.
Not little Hector. That ain't for me, brother. I ain't going to take care of that little brat.
What?
Not me, brother.
Oh, now, you mean you don't like little Hector?
Oh, I like him.
Well, that's swell.
I'd like to give him a present.
What kind of a present?
Oh, a broken shoulder blade.
That's no way to talk. What did little Hector ever do to you?
What did he do?
Yeah.
Why, the guy, he poured a bottle of ink in my bathtub last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Did you speak to him about it?
No, I only discovered it yesterday.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Here's Ken and Mrs. Niles now. We were expecting you, Ken.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late, Bud. My wife and I just got back from a hunting trip.
Yes, I got a moose head.
Well, put a hat over your antlers and nobody will notice it.
Pay no attention to Costello, Mrs. Niles. He's a little tired. He just came from launching a ship.
He just launched a ship? Oh, that must have been a pretty picture. One tub launching another.
That was wonderful, dear. That was wonderful. What a clever remark. No wonder I go for you.
Oh, and Kenneth, I go for you.
I go for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard from Mr. and Mrs. Gopher.
I love that. Come on now. Cut it out, Costello. Say, Mrs. Niles, where's little Hector?
Oh, he's outside playing. I'll get him. Hector, darling.
Yes, Annie Niles. I was looking for Mr. Costello's crazy cat.
Who ever told you I had a crazy cat?
Annie Niles. She said, wait till I get a load of your silly puss.
See why I hate the kid?
Oh, isn't little Hector cute?
Oh, come here, kid. I think you're very cute, too. Come here, do me a favor.
Yeah, what?
Let me pinch your windpipe.
Costello, now.
Well, I mean, hey, Hector, look. Why don't you just walk around the block? And if you're not back in 3 days, that'll be fine.
Okay. Oh, don't mind Hector, Mr. Costello. He's just faithful. Why, the other day, he gently kicked me in the face.
Mrs. Niles, I hope he didn't knock any of your teeth out.
How could he? She had him in her back pocket all the time.
Come, Kenneth. We'll be back for Hector tonight.
Oh, now listen. Now look, I'm not going to get stuck with this kid, Hector. Now look, Hector, come here. Go on home to your mother, will you, kid?
But my mama ain't home. She's downtown buying a gun for my old man.
Buying a gun? Did your father tell her what kind to get?
No. He doesn't even know she's going to shoot him.
Hey, Abbott, now I tell you, this kid is dangerous.
Oh, come, he's only playing.
Playing? Yesterday he stuck his grandfather's head in the stove and sang, smoke gets in your eyes.
Hector, that was a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, it was. It put the fire out.
Oh, little Hector, listen, I know a very good game. I'll tell you what I'd like to have you do. I'll turn on the electric fan, and you stick your hand in it.
No,
that ain't
going to
hurt much.
No, I want to play cowboys and Indians. Look, I brought my BB gun.
Don't point that gun at me, it might go off!
I even told the kid not to point it at me.
All right, take it easy.
Hey, Abbott.
What?
He shot me right in the eye.
Are those BBs in your face?
Well, it ain't caviar. Here, kid, give me that thing. I'm going to shoot the rest of these BBs right out the window.
Oh! Who shot that gun out of the window?
Who wants to know?
I do. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Mr. Gildersleeve, those shots were an accident. Where did he get you?
Between my bay window and the back porch. And furthermore, one of those BBs lodged in my head.
Lodged in your head? I don't believe it. Shake your head once.
All right, I will.
He's right, Abbott. Can you imagine a little BB all alone in that big head?
You got a lot of nerve to talk about my head. The last time I saw a head like yours, it was in a bottle.
Now, wait a minute, boys. Let's settle this thing like gentlemen.
But he ain't gonna blame this on me. Now, it was all that little Hector's fault.
You mean this innocent little child here? Why, he has an angelic face. He has a heavenly look.
You got your directions mixed.
Now, look here, Costello. You're not gonna blame this on anybody else. I demand satisfaction. Put up your fists and fight like a man.
Okay, Abbott. This guy's asking for it. Give me a piece of chalk.
What are you going to do with it?
What am I gonna do with it? I'm gonna draw a line right here on the floor. Right over there. Now, come on, Gildersleeve. I dare you to step over that line.
Hey, well, I stepped over the line. Now what?
Yeah. Now you're on my side.
Blacked out and loaded with munitions, the commando transport plane rises up over the hump, north and east over the mountains to China. They've got what it takes, the men who fly the air freighters, and so has their cigarette, Camels. First with men in all the services, according to actual sales records. Yes, Camel cigarettes are going to our men in China, too. And when they arrive, they're fresh, cool smoking, and slow burning. Because Camels are packed to go around the world. Freshness is one of the reasons why more people want Camel cigarettes now, both at home and overseas. Freshness. And more flavor, too. More flavor. The result of Camel's matchless blend of costlier tobaccos. So remember, if your store is sold out today, try tomorrow.
Alert,
Camel cigarettes are worth asking for again.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camel cigarettes. Camel's tobacco standard is the same for soldier, for civilian, anywhere in the world. Freddie Rich and the orchestra dancing in the dark.
Imagination. No way, Abbott! I was so nervous because I crossed across until my nose got caught in my ear.
You got your nose caught in your ear? Why, that's terrible.
Sure, I sneezed and almost blew my brains out. Oh, now, who is that? Come in.
Good afternoon, Mr. Abbott and Mr. Costello. Is Lippo Hector here? I'm Pommy Pumpkins. I live 2 blocks down the street.
You live 2 blocks down the street? What kind of talk is this?
Mr. Costello, that's the way Tommy talks. He can't say the letter T. He makes it sound like a poof.
Hey, do that again. It's very cooling.
Look, what did you want with little Hector, Tommy?
I came over here to practice my music with little Hector. See, I brought my trumpet.
Trumpet? You mean trumpet.
That's it, the trumpet.
Abbott, this guy sounds like a nitwit.
But Tommy is a very good trumpet player.
You said it. Mr. Costello, you're talking for the most prolific trumpet player that ever pooted a pirate trumpet from Timbuktu, Tennessee. Want to hear me play a poon on my trumpet?
No.
Well, how about the clarinet? I play the clarinet, the trombone, and the pooba.
Oh, no, you don't play the pooba. A pooba's what you keep your toothpaste in to brush your peep. Now, the guy's got me talking like that.
Costello, please, don't make fun of Tommy. He comes from a very high-class family. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Then why don't he take it out when he talks?
Oh, come on, Lippo Hector. Let's play a Lippo Poon. Mr. Costello, you want to hear Cole Pauper's Knife and Day?
Knife and Day? Why don't you play Pippo Pruda Pulis?
Oh, that's great. Follow me, Lippo Hector. In tempo, one, two, three.
That's enough, brother. I said that's enough, brother. Will you guys shut up? Cut it out! Break it up!
All right. Look, Hector, why don't you and your friend Tommy go out in the yard and play?
Yeah, here, you can have my football, the one I used when I used to play with Marquette.
You played with the University of Marquette in Wisconsin?
No, with the Fish Marquette in Glendale.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Abbott, look. Come on, kids. Now, get out. Get the kids out, will you, Abbott? Look, go on out in the backyard, and I'll show you how I used to kick the ball. Now, look. I'm going to show you the kick that won the great big game. Here. Hector, you hold the ball. I'll kick it. Abbott, you catch it.
Yeah, but suppose you kick little Hector's head.
Well, you'll have to catch that, too.
Oh.
Okay, kids. Get ready. Here we go.
Oh, who kicked that football through my window?
Hey, it's Gildersleeve. Let's run. Now, what's the matter? What's the matter?
Abbott, that darn clothesline.
Did it get you?
No, I always wear my nose side saddle. Did it get me?
Don't you try to run away, Costello. You kicked that football through my window. It bounced off my high boy and put a nick in the leg of my secretary.
Your secretary?
Yeah. An old Duncan Fife.
Where does she get that stuff?
My secretary's been in my family for 200 years.
Faithful, isn't she?
Oh, keep quiet, Costello. Well, look, Gildersleeve, the whole thing was an accident. Costello was just showing us what a great football player he was in school.
In school?
Mm-hmm.
Costello, who'd you ever play for? Subnormal?
Did you ever have that laugh dry clean?
Don't try and evade the issue, Costello. You're talking to the greatest football player who ever went to Princeton.
All right, prove it. Where are your football pants?
Well, that shows how stupid you are, Costello. Footballs don't wear pants.
Say, Gildersleeve, did you ever play in the Princeton-Yale game?
Oh, I'll never forget that game, Abbott. I can still picture myself sweeping down the field. I swept over the 50-yard line, over the 40, the 30. I swept past the 20-yard line. As I was sweeping toward the goal line, it happened.
Were you tackled?
No, he broke his broom.
Well, there's only one way to settle this argument. Why don't you challenge each other to a football game?
That's a great idea, Abbott. It's the only thing that'll satisfy my honor. We Gildersleeves are a proud lot.
You're a vacant lot. I think I got the kid going, Pop. He's getting mad.
Costello, we'll meet in 1 hour. If I should not emerge victorious, I shall retire to a mountain fastness, where, as a measure of self-punishment, I shall wedge my neck in the crotch of a tree and allow the woodpeckers to peck on my cranium at regular 5-minute intervals. Yes.
Yeah? Well, listen, Gildersleeve. If I don't win this game, I'm going to retire to the cellar of Tony's Fish Market, where I will tie myself to a pickle barrel and have Tony slap me in the puss with a wet barracuda. Not every 5 minutes, not every 3 minutes, not every 10 seconds, but Sunday.
Monday and always.
By
special request, Connie Haynes repeats one of the top tunes of the season, Shoo Shoo Baby.
Shoo 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 Baby. Shoo 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 Baby.
Cigarettes. They're first in the service. They've got what it takes. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ken Niles, your sportscaster, speaking to you direct from Google's parking lot overlooking the city dump. There is a strong wind sweeping across the field at this moment, and most of the crowd is leaving. We are about to give you a word picture of this great football classic between the Gildersleeve Nanny Goats and the Costello Morons. Pardon me, that's Maroons. And now for a last-minute interview, we take you to Lou Costello's dressing room. Take it away, Flash Farrell.
Thank you, Ken Niles.
Phew.
This is Flash Farrell speaking from the Morons' dressing room.
That's me, folks.
Mr. Costello? I understand that this game is the result of a personal challenge. Is it true that you don't know the meaning of the word trepidation?
That's right.
And is it true that you don't know the meaning of the word cowardice?
That's right.
You're pretty brave.
No, I'm pretty ignorant.
Take it away, Ken Niles.
Thank you, Flash Farrell. And now for a word from the opposing captain, we switch you to Gildersleeve's dressing room and Red Harbor.
Thank you, Ken Niles. Here we are in the Nanny Goat's dressing room. Gildersleeve looks in great shape. Say, Mr. Gildersleeve, I see you're wearing your old school sweater.
Oh, yes, Princeton University. Yes, sir, I was the biggest PU man on the campus.
Phew. Thank you, Gildersleeve. And now, back to Ken Niles.
Okay, Red Harbor. Both teams are coming on the field now, and we switch to Bud Abbott.
Right, Ken Niles. Now let's listen to Gildersleeve's Nanny Goats singing their alma mater.
Mammy, Mammy, the nanny goats you'll find will always come from behind for Alma Mammy.
Phew.
Phew. And now on the other side of the field, we pick up Lou Costello's band and glee club.
Hip hop, protopolap, protopolap, protopolap. Hip hop, protopolap, with me.
What do you think you're doing here?
Now, don't bother me now, Mrs. Niles. We're going to play football.
But where's old Hector?
What do you think we're using for a football?
Costello, the game's about to start. Where's your football helmet?
I don't need a helmet.
But how are you going to protect your head?
I'm wearing my hair piled up this season.
Well, folks, the moment is here, and we take you to the midfield stripe where the opposing captains are shaking hands in their usual friendly manner.
Oh, I warn you, Costello. You try to carry the ball through my line, I'll climb you like a tree.
And a monkey like you can do it.
Costello, remember sportsmanship.
I'm not afraid of him, Abbott. Listen, Costello, I'll hit you on the top of your head so hard I'll drive your head down into your ribs. When you open your eyes, you'll think you're in jail.
Jiggers, the cop!
No, come here, that's the referee.
Cops, no more patrol wagons.
No, that's the referee.
Last time I had to stand up.
No, that's the referee.
All right, boys, let's start the game. All right.
Well, the game is about to start. Costello is kicking off to Gildersleeve, and Costello's toe meets the pigskin.
Wait. Gee, that was a great kick, Costello. Gildersleeve's got the ball. Go ahead and tackle him.
Okay, I got him.
Costello, are you double jointed?
No. Why?
And I think I broke your leg.
The joke's on you. I always wear my leg in my back pocket. Hey, I don't like the way you tickle, Gildy.
You mean tackle. You don't know your football.
I mean tickle. You don't know your mustache.
Come on, Gildy. Let's start the play.
Right. Signals. 1, 2, butt my shoe. 3, 4, shut the door. Hike!
Costello, Gildy's running around his own end.
He's running around his own end? That's a neat trick if he can do it.
Well, quick. Grab him. Come on, grab him.
Ooh, ow!
Referee!
What is it?
Did you see what happened?
Yes, I did, and I penalized you 15 yards for interference.
Interference? Gildersleeve kicked me right in the push.
I don't believe it. You wouldn't do a thing like that, would you, Gildy?
No, Uncle Ralph.
Uncle Ralph, this is a frame-up.
Look, stop complaining, Costello. It's your turn to carry the ball. Now, let's see you make a touchdown.
Okay, Abbott, watch me. Signal, 1, 2. What comes after 2? 3. Oh, 3.
I knew he went to subnormal.
Look, I'll call the signals. 1, 2, 3, 4. Say, Costello, what comes after 4?
6.
No, it's 5.
Oh. How do you know?
I got my shoes off. I'm counting on my toes.
Get ready, then. Signals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hike.
Oh, boy. I got the ball, Abbott. 1 tackler down. 2 tacklers, 3 tacklers. I'm going to make a touchdown, Abbott.
No, you won't, Costello. I'm right in back of you. I got you.
Uh-oh. Abbott, we can't lose now.
Why not?
I'm out in the open.
Abbott and Costello will be back in just a moment. Now, here's Abbott and Costello with the final word.
Thanks, Ken. Well, Gilly, it was swell to have you with us tonight. That was a pretty tough football game.
Yes, it was. I think Costello and I better take inventory. Let me see now. I've got 2 arms.
And I got 2 arms.
And I've got 2 legs.
And I got 2 legs. Wait a minute, Gildersleeve. I'll never be able to face my public again.
Why not?
I'm wearing your hat.
Oh, get out of here. Good night, folks. Good night, folks. Good night, neighbors.
Be sure to tune in next week for another great Abbott and Costello show with our special guest, Miss Janet Blair. Harold Perry, the great Gildersleeve, appeared tonight through the courtesy of the Kraft Cheese Company. And remember, Camel cigarettes are packed to go around the world. Camel stay fresh, cool smoking, and slow burning, because they're packed to go around the world. This is Ken Niles wishing you a very pleasant good night from Hollywood.
How about that? Abbott and Costello on a surprise visit from Mr. Gildersleeve. Yes, indeed. All right. That's about it from here. as it's time for us to get on out of here. The old clock on the wall tells us that. But anyway, as I always do, I want to say, have yourself a real good year, and I hope it is a better year for everyone. We all need it. You know that. I know that. Anyway, until the next time that I do meet up with you again, and remember, you can always write me at john.bollier, that's J-O-H-N dot Bollier, B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U, at verizon.net, and I'll do my best to take on your request. And if I can't find it in a reasonable time factor for you, I'll send it off to one of my buddies. All right, so on that note, may the good Lord take a liking to each and every one of you. Have a good one, and stay safe. Thank you for listening to What Once Was Radio. Hope you will come back again real soon and venture with me on another What Once Was Radio. I'm John Bollier.
Speech on demand.
Good work, my friend.
Very nice. That was fun. Thanks, John.
Alt A, John.
I'm frozen.
Oh, you're good. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. It actually worked.
I killed your share for you, John.
Yeah.
Those are good shows.
Yeah,
I remember they told us last night in the reps thing, there was one of the quiz questions, what the P in Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve stood for.
And what's the answer, Brad?
I don't remember.
Oh, boy.
And then I was looking at the list, and John Gassman bailed out. He was there. He probably knew to begin with. Throckmorton.
Maybe Joni, if she didn't fall asleep, would know.
I don't know. Is Joni here?
She is still here, but she's muted.
Oh, she's probably snoring.
Oh, Joni's here.
I wonder if he.
Maybe Patty knows. She's asleep too.
Hold the audio now unmuted. Mute.
Okay, Patty, what does the P in Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve stand for?
I do not know. I should know too, either.
Yes,
I'm
you should.
Myself. I'm ashamed of myself. Huh?
That's okay. I bet Joni wakes up here. I'll ask her. She was in the.
Are you going to tell me now that I'm going nuts wanting to know?
Yeah, well. I don't know. Joni unmutes. We'll find out.
If she does. If she's not snoring.
Now, I do want to say I really enjoyed it. I had never actually heard that before. So that's the first time on me on that. And
what, the Abbott and Costello one?
Yeah, with Gildy.
Gildersleeve, yeah.
Yeah, I had never heard that before. So,
well,
I mean,
that's good.
Yeah, there are always new shows, no matter how many years you've been doing this and you collect. And
amen.
There's more shows to hear that you haven't heard, you know?
You got it.
That's right, John. You did a great job. And, I like the Aldrich family, but, yeah. I've heard a lot of them. But this was great. I like the Abbott. I like the Abbott. I was laughing my butt off. I couldn't believe
I think we all needed some comedy. So.
It really did it for me. I left my A off. Yes. So
that must be funny.
Yeah, it's funny. You come see.
I'll let Brad do that.
Do what? Fine. I'm sorry. I was pondering the thought Morton P.
Gilderson. Do we have a secret on him now, John?
Need to do, because it's just rattling off all these names and where they are. It's just, you know, it'd be nice if you could turn that off. Turn. I bet there is something to turn off collaborator information, and so you don't know. I have to find that. It seems like I saw it one time when I was on something in Google Docs, but I only had like two or three other people that were sharing the document with me. And, you know, we might be in a planning meeting and there's two others on there. And it just tells me that so-and-so is editing near your location in the document, you know? So, but, oh, this is crazy. When it goes live at 6 o'clock, and today everybody's looking for it. And I don't know. What'd you think, Tom? 5 minutes after? Something like that?
Close to it, I would say, because it took me a couple, three times. It kept saying seven, and I'm like, no, that's maybe that's not right. And people,
no, it was there. it was all blank.
Yeah, I'm like, people, you might as well just wait a while. There's nothing happening yet.
Well, and it kept saying so and so is editing the document at. Yeah, and I kept thinking, but I don't see anything here. What are they editing? They weren't. Their cursor is on that cell.
Oh, okay. I was wondering because there wasn't nothing there. What were these people doing? I wonder. Well,
I could see a little bit. My colors are reversed, so it's a black background. And if there's anything in the cell, I'll see something white there. I can't read it, but when if I put my cursor on it, then the screen reader will read it to me.
Oh, okay.
And I could just tell it was all blank. And then I sat there and said, "Well, let me focus on this other thing I was doing on my phone." And then all of a sudden I heard something that indicated I looked at it, and now there was all this text that was there. Well, there was this white stuff that was there that I knew meant that was text because it wasn't there before. And then I was able to see where I was. I was in column A and I was in Sunday. So I narrowed down to Monday, found what I wanted and signed up for it and just got out of there because I'm not going to be around any other day the rest of the week. And other than your call, there's nothing of interest to me on Sunday. I usually don't make it to your call, but I should.
I didn't even look at Sunday because I don't usually do much. I just kind of loaf on Sundays.
Yeah, well, there's football and Cowboys are in the playoffs. So
I don't know what games. I don't know if any of the teams that I follow are playing. I know the Ravens aren't, and I know the 49ers aren't.
Ravens are like got the bye, don't they?
Yeah, they got
the bye. They're the number one team in the AFC. I don't know. Who else do you follow?
I follow the Eagles and the 49ers.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. Yep. Of course, you're not too far from Philly.
No, not too far. I'm about maybe a couple. I'd say
we'll see. They got Eagles have to go to Tampa. We'll see what happens down there. They may just complete the collapse and be done with the season.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's happened to the Eagles. They were, man, at the beginning.
Oh, they were flying high, 10-1 record.
I mean.
And then they had they'd lose 5 out of 6 games in December. No, 4 out of 5 games in December. Yeah. They ended up with 11-5. They finished. Yeah, they lost to the Redskins the other day. So no, they lost to the Giants.
But the Giants aren't that.
They're terrible. They're not good.
But the
Giants, the Redskins are the worst, but they finished, I think, bottom of the league, 4-12.
I was worried
about that one. It'd be just like the Cowboys to go into Redskins home field and lay an egg, like they did last year. And the game was meaningless. The Cowboys are going to be a wild card team. They couldn't improve their position. And so they go in there and just absolutely give the game away.
I remember back in the 80s, man, the Cowboys and the Redskins, it was like one of the fiercest robberies that was going on.
Yeah, always.
That's when the Redskins were the Redskins. They were good, you know.
Yes, they were. They haven't been good for a while. The Eagles have always been a tough opponent. the Giants sometimes are, sometimes aren't. And we used to have St. Louis Cardinals in there too, even after they moved to Arizona for a while before they realigned. That was the East. And the Cowboys came into the league. That was just genius. Tex Ram managed to get the Cowboys in the Eastern Conference or division, whatever they called it back in the original. And that put them in there with all the eyeballs on East Coast. So that, of course, he had been, he started out as a, you know, I'm talking about Tex Ram used to be the general manager. Yeah. And he had been with the Rams. And then in 49, he went with CBS TV and was like one of the producers of NFL on CBS when there was no other there, you know, that was the only place that was national, you know, football was, there was no, till the AFL came along and it was on NBC. That was it, CBS. And anyway, the, when the Cowboys got a franchise for 1960, they managed to hire Tex Ram away from CBS, made him the general manager of the Cowboys. And he initiated all kinds of things. Cowboys were the first to have numbers on top of the shoulder pads instead of on the sleeve because it was easier to see them on TV. Now I think they're all on the top of the shoulder pad. AFL started putting names on the back of jerseys. He got the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving. Detroit been playing on Thanksgiving since the 30s. But he got them playing the later game, come on after Detroit. And I think they played on air since, oh, what year was that? 66, 67 maybe, 67. They've played every Thanksgiving except for two. They tried with a couple other teams, and the ratings weren't good. And they went back to the Cowboys. And, of course, now there's a third game, but I always liked it. It used to be Detroit playing somebody at noon and Dallas playing somebody in the – it used to be 3 o'clock. Now it's 3:25. But anyway, we'll see what the Cowboys do this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I'm going
Green Bay is always a tough opponent for Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Even though they're the number 7 seed, they scare me coming in here. At least we don't have to go there.
Yeah.
But that's a scary one. Ever since those first playoff games, 66-67 against Green Bay.
Well,
and they won them both and went to first two Super Bowls. Anyway, guys, I'm going to shut her down. I'll see everybody.
All right, good night, everyone.
And maybe there, I'll probably be there Saturday night, and then I'll be out of town. So, good night.
See you Saturday.